Here it comes. The latest people, trends, and news on sustainable living in and around our corner of the country. Down to Earth with Mrs. Green. Spotlight on the Southwest. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You are indeed listening to Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight on the Southwest. And I will tell you, this is going to be another great show, a really important show because it's about our health. And what is more important than that? It's the place from which we come. It's what makes us have a good day or a bad day. And we are going to have some fun as well, as always, with Mrs. Green's World. I'd like to begin by thanking the Aspen Club for their support in making this show possible. And I invite you to find out more about them and their fabulous fitness offerings by visiting theaspenclub.com. Trust me when I say it's a website you're going to want to spend some time on. The name of our show tonight is Younger Next Year, Part 1. And we're going to be talking about our health, as I said, your health and my health, and how we can all make some important changes that will honestly help ensure a healthier, younger, and even sexier us next year. And I love that part. So joining me to share what this is all about and about a book that is literally flying off the shelves. These are national New York Times bestseller lists as soon as they come out. And the name of the book is Younger Next Year, The Exercise Program. And joining us for this next half hour is Bill Fabricini. He is an author, clinician, coach, and teacher of movement. He has built his career around rehabilitating athletes and designing innovative training programs striving to optimize performance, our human performance. He believes that everyone is an athlete designed to move, and he's going to try and convince me of that in the next half hour. I never see myself as an athlete. I also wanted to share that Chris Crowley, who we'll be interviewing next week, and who is the author of the Younger Next Year book series, describes Bill as this handsome chap who is one of the smartest and ablest physical therapist trainers in the country. What a great introduction. Bill, thanks for being with us.
Oh, thank you for that kind introduction.
Yeah, I hope you can hear the smile in my face because I have a lot of questions, and it's like,
oh, I'm looking forward.
Just motivate me because I want to be younger, healthier, and sexier next year at 65 years young. So I always like to start my show with a little bit of information about my guest and their journey. So how did yours begin, and what led you up to working with Chris and really committing yourselves to, you know, people's health?
Oh, that's a great question going down memory lane. I was always involved with sports as a kid, and I was just either in the locker room, you know, training and learning things about how to move my body as an athlete, or I was injured, like a lot of athletes, and rehabilitating injuries. And then as I went into my college years and studied physical therapy, a little bit of pre-med, and even some nutrition, it just became something I was passionate about, and that moved in my career forward, and I was blessed that I got to meet so many wonderful people along the path and learn from and had great mentors, and really started looking, as well as working with athletes, high-end athletes, that there was an overlapping element I would see with athletes and just everyday people. We all have the same body, we all have the same architecture, and we are all governed by the same laws of motion, the same laws of physics and gravity. So I saw these overlapping patterns of how to optimize human movement that I believed would help anyone, whether you're 22 years old and a world-class athlete or 75 years old and just training for life, and how to move your body to either go play golf or just navigate through your day.
And
that got the attention of Chris, and obviously we started working together.
And obviously he has very nice things to say about you, and I mean that because I read quite a bit. And I just want to ask you, when you talk about working with really high-performance athletes, and I'd love to know, what are some of the qualities? My husband and I talk about this quite a bit. You know, an athlete, an Olympic gold medal winner sometimes wins something by one hundredth of a second, literally. So What is it that you saw in athletes that is something that is just there? I have the utmost respect for them, the golfer, that swings, you know, 900 times a day to get that one good shot, and the basketball player.
Right. Yeah.
Why do you think that's in all of us? I guess that's my question.
Because again, we all have the same architecture. We all have a brain that runs movement patterns. It's very much like a computer, and a computer runs software. And you just have to tap into that. The way the body moves is in motion, is in compound movements. Even when you walk, either your brain doesn't say, okay, calf muscle fire, now quad fire, now buttocks fire, now head looks straight. It's an integrated software pattern that just runs the software. The brain runs the software. And that's applied to any form of movement. It might be something complex like a golf swing where there's a thousand things happening at once. But the brain isn't, like you just said, you do something over and over.
Right,
and
right.
An athlete is someone who can become very skilled at a specific refined movement pattern, and they can take it to a very high level of performance. Now, we all have the ability, the same architecture, the same nervous system to do this. They just can do it to a better degree. Everyone has different levels of how their nervous system works, how their muscles work. But we are still training the same patterns. We're learning to move in diagonal patterns, and whether that's to pick up your groceries and put them on a shelf or swing a golf club. So you want to take advantage of the natural architectural and systems of the body. Does that make sense?
It makes total sense. I mean, it really does. And it's really, it's the power of our mind. Whatever we tell ourselves ends up becoming the truth. And, you know, the thing that I love about the book, I'm very much an observer of intentional words. And clearly, I mean, I wrote a book, and just getting the title of the book was like maybe the most exhausting part of the entire process. But this book is called Younger Next Year, : The Exercise Program. Use the power of exercise to reverse aging and stay strong, fit, and sexy. To me, in a country that it's deplorable, the health crisis that we are in at every level. I mean, it's obesity and juvenile diabetes. I mean, blah, 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 blah. Tell us about the book. What delights will we find, and how will it inspire us? What's in it? Because I'm getting it. I just talked to Kate Loken yesterday, and I'm going to pore over it. The Younger Next Year book did change my life, but I've fallen off the path. I'm not going to be a hypocrite.
Sure.
So what will this book do for every one of us that plans to read it?
Well, the first book, like you mentioned, Younger Next Year, was written 10 years ago by Chris Crowley and Dr. Harry Loge, and that really covered the why exercise is so important. It was very thorough, and it was the New York Times bestseller. We fast forward 10 years, and now we have the Younger Next Year exercise program, which goes a little bit more into the how. It reviews the why, and the overlapping theme is, you know, your bodies are either in a state of growth or decay. And many of the medical issues we see in Western society, particularly as we age, and even with kids now because of, like you said, the lack of activity and bad eating habits, childhood obesity, which leads into adult-onset diabetes and cancer and heart disease, 70% of that is lifestyle-related. It is a choice. These are preventable.
70%.
You know, up to 70%. I mean, numerous studies show this. Even Alzheimer's, there's numerous studies that show you can reduce the risk of Alzheimer's 40% or more with exercise. And of course, good nutrition goes along the way, good eating habits as well. But exercise is a big component of it. Many people just choose to decay. That is a choice. They choose to, in the medical terminology, we say, anabolic or catabolic. Anabolic, you're building up, and people associate that with steroids, you know, and they default to that brain pattern. It has nothing to do with that. Anabolic, you're building up the systems of your body. You're building up your nervous system, your muscular system, your skeletal system, so you avoid osteoporosis if you're a female, or at least reduce the risk of it. You stimulate billions of nerve cells that regenerate to grow daily, that communicate with one another. If you want to rot away, also called catabolic state, you just sit and become inactive. And that's how things just atrophy away. That is a choice, and that leads to all these medical diseases. This book really refines, and it's a small read compared to the first book, reiterates and highlights these critical points, because the why is important. That's what motivates us. But people need to know how, and this book really covers the how of aerobic exercise, how to move properly, and strength training. Basically, the programs I use with athletes, just scalable down to everyday folks.
You know, I will tell you, this is a very personal show for me because it's the demon of get out there and exercise. And I basically didn't exercise last year. And that has never happened in my 65 years on the planet. So this book, it comes into my life where it's meaningful. I'll be talking about it on other shows. I'll be talking about it, you know, with groups that I present to. Tell us about why it does keep us young. I truly believe that, but I don't want to head into a state of decay in the third. Shouldn't everybody be committed to this no matter what their age?
If quality of life is important to you, and avoiding disease and interacting and enjoying your life with other people, this is important. It may be the most important thing in your life other than family, but it is important. Exercise is the grand negotiator of how your body grows and functions. It stimulates the systems of your body, the nervous system, so you, as you grow, you move better. And just movement has all these positive benefits. Navigating your body through space is challenging, and it will atrophy away. It will wither away if you don't stimulate it. That's why people fall as they get older. That's why they break hips, and then they have this fragile body, because there's no stimulus on the body to cause growth and repair of tissue. That is what exercise does. A lot of people just need guidance on how to begin, and that's what we talk about in this book, how we begin an exercise program, both aerobically and strength training. And it doesn't have to be super complicated, but it does take a commitment on your part to do it. And that is the essence of this book, of why and how to exercise.
Commitment or recommitment. I mean, when I exercise, I feel better. I'm happier. It's just a better quality of life. So talk about, there's two important things that you mentioned that I really want you to give us the science behind. Lots of people say, well, I just walk, or I move all day, and I don't sit still. That's not enough from what I have read. Aerobic exercise and getting your heart rate up, is it important? And if it is, why?
It's very important. Good. If you are moving and getting off your chair, you're doing something.
Right.
So, you know, but aerobic exercise, we highlight in the book this, you know, five and many more things, but we highlight five. It rebuilds and strengthens your aerobic base. Now, why is that important? You know, you have these little engines in your muscles called mitochondria, and they burn fuel, they burn oxygen, and they help you move. And if you don't get your heart rate up a little bit on a consistent basis, we recommend doing it, you know, almost daily, up to 6 days a week. These little mitochondria die off by the millions, so you lose your powerhouses that allow you to burn energy, burn calories. This is what helps burn body fat. And the capillaries, which, you know, these little vessels that supply the food and oxygen to these little mitochondria engine, they just dry up. They close down. So exercise aerobically, where you get your heart rate up at 50-60% of your max heart rate, which is not that much. It's a brisk walk, perhaps. Restores and repairs the aerobic systems, and it does it fast too, so you can burn more energy. The other benefits, it reduces disease, as I talked about, because as soon as you start to get your heart rate up, even at that 50% level of max heart rate, you start to reduce inflammation. Chronic inflammation, as we know, is what kills people. It's what withers away our cells. It's what causes heart disease and atherosclerosis and obesity, the list goes on and on. Even arthritis is to an extent related to chronic inflammation. Aerobic exercises improves your mood, depression, and there's numerous studies that show if it affects your brain chemistry, so you feel better, you combat depression. And then you get this positive reinforcement cycle, so you want to exercise more. And it reduces stress. You know, chronic stress is in itself an inflammatory component that just destroys your body. And the last, if you want to just be smarter, it improves brain function. So you improve cognitive ability. The list, Gina, can go on and on and on. There's just so much research that supports this.
There's just no downside.
There's no downside. It's just like getting some guidance. But you can, you know, you can do hours of lectures on the positive benefits of aerobic exercise. And this book really breaks down the zones you can exercise in and the simplicity of it.
What about, okay, I mean, I've got it. This is like a woo-woo thing about how all this came together with me and the Aspen Club and Kate Loken. It's like, I'm ready at a time in my life. And what about strength training for people? And again, I want to say, if I had kept it up all my life, because I've always had a gym membership done on and on, and I am not atypical. I've got lots of girlfriends in this category where it's like, oh God, I got to get on the treadmill or whatever. Mm-hmm. To me, strength training has got to be important. I have never been afraid of much. And I find myself now, because of the cultural messages we get, oh my God, you're 65, what if you fall? I'm in great health. I've got boundless energy. But does it help with things like strengthening my ankles and strengthening
Absolutely,
my hips
yeah.
and all those things?
Yeah, everything you talked about, balance. And, you know, strength sometimes can be intimidating to people as they age because they think of being in the gym and these heavy weights being thrown around. I'm like, I'm not doing any of that. And you totally miss really what the definition of strength is, which is just the ability to control and produce force through your skeletal system. In other words, how you push force through your body. You need strength to do what? Go up and down your stairs, to sit down in a chair and stand up, to pick up your kids or pick up groceries,
yes.
or
yep.
if you're active, to play sports. And with strength, you also develop coordination and balance so that you're less likely to fall. You stimulate muscle cells, which will atrophy away, which reduces your strength. You improve coordination. You stimulate bone. So all these benefits go with strength. Now, aerobic exercise will, to a degree, have some benefits in this area, but strength is really more about focusing on specific whole body movements. And we add light loads in, and when you master the exercises, for example, squat patterns or lunge patterns or pushing or pulling patterns or rotating patterns, then we add more load so that your body, just remember I talked about the brain, how it runs software?
Right, right.
So that your brain runs these software patterns that are rehearsed, and no matter what you do, the brain instantly kicks into the software, so you do it with fluidity, and you do it safer, and you do it with force. You're stronger. That's how you have to look at strength training. It becomes an expression of movement. It's not in the gym just hammering weights for the sake of hammering weights. And I think that's where a lot of people get confused and intimidated. And so we design a program in the book that gently takes you through this.
And see, I think that a really important question that I would love for you to answer is, I feel like I'm at a good starting point. And I really don't want to make this all about me, but what the people that listen to my show, I'm relatable. I'm telling my real story and letting all my dirty laundry, you know, air out. What about someone that I feel like I'm in great shape? I run up and down the stairs in our house on purpose. I take them two at a time so that I keep doing that. What
yes.
about someone who might be in a position where they feel like some of the, I think a good word is decay, because that's what happens to a car if you don't run it,
yeah.
a bike if you don't use it. What about someone that isn't as in great a shape at any age? How do you recommend that they start back?
Well, one of the nice things we talk about in the book is the most simple elements of just beginning to work on your posture, how you line up and stack your joints.
Love
and
it.
Then how you develop, that is the foundation of movement, whether it's aerobic movement or strength training. But a lot of people have just lost their posture, which means they've also lost their stability, stability defined as your ability to control where your joints are in space. So when you walk, you slouch over, your head tips over, your knees buckle in, you're more likely to roll an ankle or fall and get hurt. So some of the most basic elements, how does an infant, think about an infant, how does a child or an infant learn to move again? We start them on their back.
Right.
And we teach them exercises on their back where they're in a safe environment, the way an infant learns to move. And this is what we call preparation for movement. We start you on the ground and work your way up. So by the time you're in standing, you've done something to improve your posture. We've done something to improve mobility in areas of your body where you might have lost it, such as your shoulders or your hips. A lot of people lose mobility as much as they lose muscle as they age. So we got to get flexibility back. Then balance. You know, you're challenged to balance yourself in a variety of positions before you even get into standing. then by the time you're in standing, things are starting to turn on. Your nervous system and muscles are starting to wake up, and we might just start you marching in place. Everything has a progression, and it can start with someone who even feels like they've, you know, been necrotic and decaying away. There's always a way to bring cell life back, bring muscle activity back, rev your nervous system back up. There's always a beginning.
So you're so inspirational, and I mean, I rarely stop the show to say this interview, I want to go on for an hour, because you're inspiring me and therefore will inspire the thousands of people who listen to the show. So posture, and I see that with some of my friends that are 10 years younger, my daughters. I say to them, stand up straight, put your shoulders back, because if not, you're going to end up slumped over like an old lady. And boy, do we, my husband and I, keep each other very conscious of our posture. It really matters.
It is the foundation. The first thing I do when I am privileged enough to have a world-class athlete refer to me for whatever reason, to run faster, to hit the ball harder and longer, or run longer, look at their posture. And you'd be surprised. Even the best athletes in the world, their posture is compromised because they've done patterns of movement a million times over and over, and they've lost flexibility, say, in their throwing shoulder or in their jumping side hip. So we have to reestablish their mobility and their posture so that we can strength train them and balance loads through their joints without breaking them down further. And that's why the type of the exercise program is so well. If you just went to a gym and did load weights and you're not paying attention to your posture and you don't have the mobility, you might actually be hurting yourself more. The worst thing you can do is just go start running and run 3 miles a day, and you're running with poor alignment, you're running with poor balance, you'll just break down. It's like a car that you haven't taken the time to realign the shocks and the axle system. It's going to break, so the exercise does more harm than good. You have to have the basic foundational elements, everyone.
And here's a red flag for me that I really want you to help answer. I have had great trainers, and I've had trainers that were not so great. And once you have a great trainer, you watch in the gym, which I have no intention of going back to the gym. This is going to be an in-home program or an outside program for me. They can tell you how to do things wrong. How can we be sure that this book will teach us how to do it right? Because as you said, if someone's doing the exercise wrong, it can cause more harm than good. So is it going to be that intuitive for us?
You know, the analogy I make for myself is when I take my car to the mechanic, how do I know if what he's telling me is real, since I don't know anything about the car engine, you know? So you have to put some education into yourself. I really want to know if my mechanic is doing a good job.
Right.
I've got to put a little research myself in. I've got to read a little bit. I've got to learn a little bit about my car. I've got to ask questions. I've got to make an investment in my time. And I've got to do it wisely, you know, because I can't spend all day trying to read about a car. But that's hopefully what this book can help you, is to give you that base of knowledge, how you help yourself. But even to ask questions if you are working with a trainer, like, hey, I learned a little bit more about posture. Are we addressing my posture in my exercises? Are we addressing my lack of shoulder mobility before we load me up with weights on my shoulder or any type of resistance? So you start communicating the same language, the language of movement, I call it. When you're with your trainer, if they're talking about building your biceps up, you're with the wrong trainer. You know, you should be talking to your trainer about, is my posture improving? Am I in better alignment?
Right.
Am I moving better? Am I squatting better? Am I maintaining control of my center of gravity better? Am I better balanced? Am I more proportionate? That's the language of movement. And that's why a basic understanding of the body is important when you're looking at talking with a trainer.
And why is it there seems to be what you, and tell me if this is right or not, that you recommend 45 minutes 6 days a week. Why 45? Why not 30? Why not an hour? Is the science behind 45 minutes is optimum and fine?
There's some good science behind that, and again, the 45-minute component to all those benefits I talked about earlier, rebuilding your aerobic base and capillary flow and heart, improving your heart function, you know, there's some good science behind that 45 minutes of light aerobic exercise. Now, that said, there are options to rev the engine up, in which case you don't have to go as long, but a lot of people you know, just need a start, and they have to develop a base.
Right.
And that base we call long, slow, and steady. You know, we don't want someone who hasn't been doing much just to, you know, I mean, you're going to start with maybe 5, 10, 15 minutes a day of light activity, and that's fine. And then you might have to take a rest, and then hopefully over time you can do 10, 15 minutes twice a day and eventually link it together. And then you start to see the benefits multiply, and then up to 45 minutes. So it's that time frame. Yes, there are some very positive benefits aerobically, as I talked about, if you can go consistently. But then as you get in better shape, you can talk about being fit, and that's where you really rev the heart rate up, and you don't have to go as long. You can go in these 20-minute spurts where you drive the heart rate up at 70-80%.
Right.
Near, you know, and you can get some amazing additional benefits of being fit. But for the benefit of health, all the things we talk about of improving, you know, reducing chronic inflammation, improving heart function, improving mitochondria density so you burn energy better, that 45 minute is a great goal to get through.
And, you know, it's funny because one of the things that I have done right this year, and it's almost the end of February and I'm still doing it, so my New Year's resolution is still there, but I wear a Fitbit every day, and it's kind of a touchstone to me. I have literally come home at night from meetings at 9:30, and I have, you know, 9,626 steps, and I go out and walk because I'm like, gosh darn it, I'm not going to, you know, be short 400 steps when I did that far. Do things like that help with a, like, kind of, it, to me, it's a psychological assistant.
Sure. It's positive feedback. It, you know, for some people it helps, others not so much. But
right.
if you are one of these people that are inspired by feedback and numbers, sure, it can only help.
Okay. And I want to talk about the mini retreats. We have about 4 minutes left, and I do have more questions, but we want to make sure. These mini retreats to me look like they are spurts, like just a super shot of like a vitamin B12 shot for exercise.
Yeah.
There is one coming up in Phoenix, and I am in the Tucson area, and they're put on between Younger Next Year and the Aspen Club, and it's a mini retreat. What happens?
You know, these mini retreats are based on our full weeks at the Aspen Club, where people come in and we review all these basic elements of exercise: how to warm up properly, how to move properly, how to put them into a strength program, how to have a good aerobic exercise program, the basic concepts of nutrition and lifestyle, and we just have an incredible weekend of activity and lectures, and everyone is actively participating in the program, and people leave there with these blueprints of how to incorporate them into their lifestyle, along with the book and the DVDs that go with it. So there's a good chance in a weekend we can condense things in and really make some positive changes.
I am so excited. And the one in Phoenix is April 29th through May 1st, and it's at the Arizona Grand Resort and Spa in Phoenix. You can find out about all of this at the Younger Next Year website, and all you have to do is put youngernextyear.com. It's a treasure trove website of great information. And are you going to be at the one in Phoenix, Bill?
I'm hoping to be. Yeah. We have a staff and we have a lot of these. So we have a great group of us, and you know,
nobody will be disappointed, right?
No, no one will be disappointed.
I'll meet you, and you can say, "So, Gina, we talked in February. How did it go between now and the end of April?" So I hope I have a really good report card. I went to Catholic school, so I'm really good on report cards. It's like, you never forget. Okay, I'm going to be working for at least an A in this one, not an A+, or maybe an A-.
I'm going to be checking on you then.
I know,
that's
I really
important.
Do. And I have one more quick question, and everybody, I want you to know, the website is Younger Next Year, the Facebook page is Younger Next YR, Twitter is Younger Next YR, and you can find out all about Bill by just Googling his name. It's a wonderful, I read a lot of good things about you. It's Bill Fabricini, or Cini, is it Cini?
Italian pronunciation is Cini.
Cini, that's right, I thought, yeah. And I'm a Jersey girl, so I'd say Fabricini.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be great, and I want to do a little shout-out about March 5th. We have Deborah Fleischer on our national show on Saturday, and she's the founder and president of Green Impact. I've spoken with her. It's going to be a great show. And then on March 8th, Chris Crowley for part two of today's show. He is a character. I actually got to meet him when he came to Tucson. That's going to be a great show. Bill, thanks for your passion, for making this such a great show, and for taking the time to be a part of Mrs. Green's world.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, thanks.